Morning, everyone. Good to see you. Good morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shekol nevarei.
Amen.
So I would like to I'd like to share with you two stories for openers to frame the aspect of the Haggadah and the Seder that we're going to try to bring out this morning. Okay? Always, stories are always good, no? Yeah? Okay. So the first story is a story with the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski, a highly Lithuanian story, and a highly yeshivish story, and the other one is a Hasidish story. Okay? And they're with the Abderuv. Right? Highly Hasidish story. The story with the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Isaac goes like this. That L'sof Yomov, towards the end of the life of the Chafetz Chaim, one Shabbos post Chanukah, the Chafetz Chaim became very, very agitated around the time of Shalosh Shudas. He gave a talk at Shalosh Shudas. And afterwards, at Maariv, he said to his children, or whoever was with him helping him, that he wanted to leave immediately after Shabbos to go to speak to Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski. And they really didn't want him to go. He was a very old man. He was a very, very old man. He was not well. Rav Chaim was anxious and adamant that he wanted to go to speak to Rav Chaim Isaac Grudzinski. Why? Why was he so adamant? Because it was Parsha Shmos. And in Parsha Shmos, the Pasuk says that the B'nai Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. Vayhi b'yamim harabim ahem, it was over those many days, and the king of Mitzrayim died, and the B'nai Yisrael sighed. Vayonchu B'nai Yisrael min ha'avoda. The B'nai Yisrael sighed. They were weighed down by the avoda, the slavery, and they cried. V'atal shavosam elo lekim min ha'avoda, and their cries ascended to Hashem from the slavery. And Hashem heard their cries, and he remembered his bris, his covenant, which he made with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vayar elikim es bnei Yisrael, and Hashem saw, vayeda elikim, and Hashem knew. And the next thing you know, we're told about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was shepherding sheep, and Hashem appears to him. So this pasuk, these psukim, are the trigger to move from Golus to Gula, from the Jewish people suffering to the Jewish people being redeemed. Writes the Ramban on this pasuk, and the Chafetz Chaim cited this Ramban in his talk, which he would give in his house at Shalosh Shudas to those who came from the students of Radin. He says as follows: Ki b'tchilo haya master panav mehem v'haya lechel. Originally, Hakadosh Baruch was hiding his face from them. Hester panim, right? You know that famous expression. He's paraphrasing the psukim in Sefer Dvarim. Hashem hid his face from them. And the Jewish people were subject to being consumed. And now Hashem heard their cries and he saw them. Loimer, shlohister panavayd mehem. He didn't hide his face. He didn't continue to avert his gaze from the Jewish people. He recognized their pain and all that they were experiencing, veskol atzorchlem, and all that they needed. And the pasuk goes at length to mention many claims or many things which led to their redemption. Hashem heard their cries. Hashem remembered his covenant. He saw. He knew. He knew their pain. Writes the Ramban. Even though the time which was decreed for the Jewish people was complete, the Jewish people were supposed to be in Golus for whatever, 400 years. However you do the math. So it was completed. They weren't worthy of being redeemed. As Yecheskel said, very explicitly, if you look in Yecheskel Perek Chaf, he writes that Hashem came, he wanted to redeem the Jewish people. He said, okay guys, throw away your Avodah Zarah, come serve Hashem. And we didn't listen. Now, in Yecheskel, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it l'man shemi ha'godol, for the sake of my great name. But writes the Ramban here, Ella mipnei hatzaka kibel tfilasa. It was because of the cries that the Jewish people cried out to Hashem, he received their prayer berachamav, with his mercy. Meaning, it wasn't that the time came and then automatically HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, it's the date, red letter date on the calendar, time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. It required the Jewish people to cry out. So what animated the Chafetz Chaim so much? He said, you see, that even if it's the time of Geula, even if it's the time of redemption, if we don't cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing's going to happen. So he went, he wanted to go to Rav Chaim Eizer, so that together the two of them, Rav Chaim Eizer was the Manig Hador, the leader of the generation, Rav Chafetz Chaim was the Tzadik Hador, was the Tzadik, the righteous one of the generation, that together they would call upon the Jewish people with a Kol Kaire, they would call upon the Jewish people, you have to pray. And the Chafetz Chaim was beside himself, that he had to get this message to the Jewish people that they had to pray. Geula doesn't come without prayer. The time might be there, but Geula doesn't come without prayer. Okay, maybe the Ramban leaves, of course, the theoretical possibility that if we're so righteous and so worthy, that everything will be great. But the Chafetz Chaim was worried that that might not be the case. And therefore, there needed to be a cry, a tefillah from the Jewish people in order to do it. That's the story. That's the story with the Chafetz Chaim. What's the story with the Abderav? It's Chassidus Shemaisa. A classic Chassidus Shemaisa was that a person came to the Abderav. There are different versions of the story. But the bottom line was that he needed a lot of money very, very quickly. Because of the landlord, because of the tax collector, whatever it was, he needed a lot of money very, very, very quickly. And it was right before Pesach, when it just so happens a lot of people need a lot of money very quickly. Right? And it was right before Pesach. And Abderav told him, he says, tonight's going to be the Seder. And in the Seder, we say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, based on the Parsha, in Parshas Kisavo, the Parsha when we brought the Bikurim, when we give this brief review, and included in it, it says, the Egyptians were bad to us, they put on us upon us all kinds of affliction, hard work. Vanitzak el Hashem, and we cried out to Hashem, Vayishma Kaleinu, and he heard our voice, right? So I'm making it shorter, right? But that's the language of the pasuk which we bring over here. Anitzak el Hashem alikei aviseinu vayishma Hashem es kaleinu vayarsenenu vesamaleinu veslachatzenu. We cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers, and he heard our voice, and he saw our anguish, our toil, and our pressures. And so the Abderav said, it's the night of the Seder. And on the night of the Seder, we celebrate the fact that Hashem redeemed us when we cried out to him. So he says, when you get up to this part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that you cry out to Hashem, he says, cry out to Hashem. The Abderav said, cry out to Hashem. Your family at your Seder table, you know what a difficulty you're in, cry out to Hashem. And they cried out to Hashem, and with a full heart. And the way the Hasidic story goes is that later, during the Seder, there was a knock on the door, and it was a neighbor. And the neighbor said, they're after me, and I have to run. And he said, do me a favor. He says, here's a big bag of gold. Right? Or some say two bags of gold. Right? A big bag of gold. Hold it onto it for me. Right? Until I come back. If I don't come back, it's yours. And the fellow disappears. And the next day, the person sitting at his Seder hears that the person had an accident as he was... His horse and carriage, whatever, was had an accident, and he wasn't coming back. And there was the money. Okay, that's the Chassidus Shemaisa. And it's a story. People have said it over many times and told people that they should daven in the middle of the Seder, Vanitzak el Hashem, Ayishma Kaleinu. I'm like a little bit hesitant to insert into the Seder something like that, like if we're going to have now a moment for a major outcry to Hashem, but don't listen to me. There are others who will tell you to do it, right? I'm not sure that to do it, but what I would like to show you, is that you don't have to necessarily have a pause for screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to realize that in the Seder itself, the way Chazal built the Seder of the Golos that we have in Golos, is that they included it. They included it necessarily. Where? Mamish, the whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is framed by prayer. When do we start Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Here we have the Kadesh Ruchas Karpas Yachat Magid. We start Magid. We start Magid with Holach Ma'anya. Right? This is the bread of poverty that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. Right after we make it look like bread of poverty, we do yachatz, we break it into two, so that it's darkei shel ani beprusa, the way of an ani is to have a broken piece, and we do that to prepare to say the story over that broken piece, over the matzah, to say lechem ani. And then what do we say? So this is the lechem ani that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. We invite people to come. Discussed it at other times. We're not going to discuss it now. And then we say, Hashata Hocha Lashana Babar de Yisrael. This year we are here. Next year we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. This year we are slaves. Next year we're going to be Bnei Chayrin. It's a prediction? It's not a prediction. Is Lashana Babi Yerushalayim? When you sing Lashana Babi Yerushalayim at the end of the Seder, it's a prediction? When you say it at the end of Ne'ilah, it's a prediction? If it's a prediction, then my friends, then you're foolish, and I'm not taking you as a stockbroker, right? Because we sing it and we dance it every year, and we're still here. It's a tefillah. It's a tefillah. This year we're here. Next year we want to be in Eretz Yisrael. This year we're avodim. Next year we want to be free. And that's the way we launch into Magid. We say a prayer. Okay, so you could say. It's a sentimental thing. You know, here we are, we're celebrating Pesach, and we're in Golos. But you understand that the turning point of the story, as the Ramban says, was because Klal Yisrael was mispalel, because Klal Yisrael davened. And then we do it at the end of the Magid. I know you'll say, I just said we do it at the end of the Seder, because what do you do at the end of the Seder? Lashana Abav Yerushalayim. But we do it at the end of Magid. What's the end of Magid? The end of Magid is a bracha that we say after we finish the whole Magid section of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, including the Hallel, we make a bracha. Very, very interesting and important bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Goalonu V'Galas Avisenu Mitzrayim. Blessed are you Hashem who redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers in Mitzrayim. We say us first, right? We mamash succeeded in making the transition that we're viewing ourselves, who redeemed us and redeemed our forefathers in Mitzrayim. V'giyonu halayla azeh lechol by matzah umar. And you brought us to reach this night to eat matzah umar. You know, in one of the Rishonim, it says that this is, everybody asks Akasha, why didn't you make a shachyonu on matzah and mar? Mitzvah. Right? You just say, Al-Achilas Matzah. Al-Maitzi, Al-Achilas Matzah. Why don't you make it Shachyonu? Al-Achilas Matzah. So some say that the reason why you don't say it is because you did. You said already Shachyonu in Kiddush, and the Shachyonu Kiddush will cover everything. I said Kiddush maybe hours ago, right? But it's still, it's there. It frames for the whole Yontiv. But one of the Rishonim says, this is the Shachyonu. Listen to what you said. V'giyanu halayla azeh lechol by matzah umar. You brought us to this night to eat matzah umar. So it's integrated in the bracha on telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's integrated into that bracha, which is this is what this bracha is about. It's the bracha over Magid. And it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael, blessed are you Hashem who redeemed the Jewish people. But then what do we say? Kein Hashem elekeinu velekei aviseinu yagienu. So Hashem, you should allow us to reach festivals in the future, other ones in peace, rejoicing in the rebuilding of your city and filled with joy in your service. And there we should eat from the Zvachim and the Psachim, etc. And we will give thanks to you with a Shir Chadash, with a new song. So we're not just saying a bracha on the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We incorporated within it a tefillah for the future. We're not just thanking Hashem for the past or even thanking Hashem for the present, for re-experiencing the Geula. We're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should do it again. So again, we can take it as a simple, of course, you know, you're thanking Hashem for the past, you might as well, right? Or, you know, you're reminded, we're reminded when we say it, we're not quite complete, you have to finish the job. But if you understand that central to the story, the turning point is Vanitzak al Hashem Vayishma Koleinu, that we cried out to Hashem and Hashem heard our voice, that was central to Gulas Mitzrayim, so then you understand it's not just like a sentimental add-on. We start Magid with Tefillah, we end Magid with Tefillah. For our situation, for our Geula, Klolis, for our general Geula, and perhaps as well, there's reason to say that we should do the same thing for our Geula Pratis, for ourselves individually. This is not just stories, it's not just the Ramban, it's not just even that Pasuk. The relationship of Geula to Tefillah is huge. We know one of the things which is a frequently discussed question around Pesach, around the Leil HaSeder, is why is this night different than all other nights? What do I mean? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be corny, right? But every night and every day you have a mitzvah to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Everyone asks. There's a mitzvah which we allude to in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, in the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that a person has an obligation to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every day and every night. All of the days of your life. You have a mitzvah to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. So what's the Seder different? Seder, you also remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the Seder different? The question isn't about the fact, of course, you can eat chametz the whole year, right? The four kashas, which we ask, this is not the four kashas. The question is, what's the difference between how we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim on a regular night and how we are mesaper b'Yitzias Mitzrayim, how we tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night? It's a classic question, and there are lists of distinctions. Rav Chaim Brisker, the Emek Bracha, the Chaya Adam. Everybody has things about what's the difference. Okay, question and answer. We tell it to somebody else. It includes Halil, Maschil Bignusu, Messiah B'Shevach. You got to start with the negative and go to the positive. There are many elements which make Sipur fuller, much more full than Zechira. And we understand that. But Sipur is not either completely removed from Zechira. Right? Here we're filling out the story that in a sense we remember every day. And we understand that a reminder is very effective when it's built upon an already established narrative. And every year on Pesach we establish the narrative more fully. And then every day we remind ourselves of it in a more token manner, I shouldn't say token, in a more brief manner, that brings Pesach in a certain sense back, what we discuss on Pesach more fully, what brings it back to life. And where do we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim?
Krishna.
We remember Yitzias Mitzrayim as the third paragraph of Shema. It's attached to Shema, the third paragraph, the Parsha of Tzitzis. And we go from there, from the third paragraph of Shema, to the third bracha, around Kriyashma, and what's that bracha? That's the bracha of Geula. Right? Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim brings us to the bracha of Gal Yisrael, which is about remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. And from there we go to Tefillah. From there we go to Davin, to Shemona Esrei. In fact, we go straight, Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, right to Shemona Esrei. At night, where the obligation to go Geula L'Tefillah is a little bit more moderate, it's not as strong. The Gemara has a debate where you have to, whether you have to even do it at night or only during the day. which reflects the daytime of Geula. So at night, we put in Hashkivenu, we put in Baruch Hashem, Le'ilam, we put in Kaddish. We're not as makbid, right? You could bang on the table and announce Yalla v'Yavai at Mariv before Shemone Esrei, but in the morning, you just bang on the table and hope people know what you're banging about, right? You can't say anything because the kpeda of putting Gula next to Tefillah in the day is much more. The Gemara in Brachas sings the praises of the person who puts Gula next to Tefillah, who puts one next to the other. The Gemara says in one place that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was worthy to be the Mashiach, said to the Rambam, "Hatayv beinecho asisi, I did what was good in your eyes." Says the Gemara, "What did he do that was so good? He put Geula next to Tefillah." Right? That was Chizkiyahu who revolutionized religious life in the Jewish people, turned from a time when Klal Yisrael under Achaz, his father, was serving Avodah Zarah. Well, you know what's good about me is that I put Gula next to Tefillah. And the Gemara says in Brachas that a person who's Samech Gula L'Tefillah is Muftach Leishu Ben Eilam Abba. He's assured to have a portion of the world to come. So that's pretty strong. Ezu Ben Eilam Abba Zah Samech Gula Shel Arvis L'Tefillah Shel Arvis. Who does it even at night? So Rabbeinu Yaina, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yaina, which is here printed in the Gemara on the Rif in Maseches Brachas, says, you know, it's very nice, but like, why is this so significant? Why is putting Gula next to Tefillah so important? So he has two answers. And I want to share with you, for our purposes, the second answer. V'ayit Eimer Meiri, Tamacher. My teacher taught us something else. When a person remembers Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and prays immediately, he shows that he relies on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he trusts Hashem with his prayer. If he didn't trust him, he wouldn't ask him. Right? You don't ask somebody for something that they are not able to deliver. When the Jewish people saw the supernatural miracles that Hashem was doing for them, they trusted him. They said, "Wow, Hashem can deliver." So, experiencing the Geula, seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, can turn the world upside down on our behalf, establishes trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chavis Havavis, in a classic passage, says that in order to trust someone with something, you have to have two things. One is that you have to believe that they care for you. It's hard to trust somebody who doesn't care for you. The other is, you have to believe that they have capacity. Because somebody could care for you from today till tomorrow, but if they don't have an extra $500,000 around, they can't pay off your mortgage. Right? They have to have the ability. So, Klal Yisrael saw the care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he took us out of Mitzrayim, and we saw the capacity. The kivan shemaskir achshav oisa ge'ula shabotchu aveseinu ba'ashem v'yitzilam. When we mention that Geula, that the Jewish people trusted in Hashem and Hashem saved us, umispalil miyad, and the person mentions that and then turns to prayer, nimtza shegam hu beiteach beishiyana isaykayim aishanu liYisrael bavur Shabbat chubay. So the person's following the same path of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that feeds Geula. And that's why he mentions the Gula and he prays immediately. Trust is the main element of fear of God and trust in Him and belief in Him. Says a Ben Olam Haba is a person who lives with God. One could say this, you know, concisely, is a person who lives with God. And a person who, from telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, comes to the Emunah, comes to the faith, and translates the faith from the past to the present, so that they say, wow, there's a God who is capable and of deliverance. So let me turn to him and ask him to deliver. That defines the person as a Ben Olam Haba. That puts the person into the situation of being a Ben Olam Haba. Ben Olam Haba is again achieved with Emunah. But what is he saying? He's saying that the idea of going from Geula to Tefillah is because Geula is exhibit A in the case for Tefillah. Geula should translate into Tefillah because, number one, Geula happened because of the Emunah and the Tefillah of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And second of all, the fact that Geula happened is a reason to say, wow, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could redeem, so therefore, we should be mispala, we should be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to translate to that next step. It's not meant to be left. The way we act upon Emunah is by tefillah. Where do you have that in the Pasuk? You have that in the Pasuk right after Yetzias Mitzrayim. When there was someone, a nation, that thought to say, Yetzias Mitzrayim was really interesting, was really nice, but that's it. It happened. It's over. And now, let's get him. Who was that? That was Amalek, right? Amalek, everybody saw what happened at Geulas Mitzrayim. They said the Jewish people are untouchable. Amalek said, we're going to show you the Jewish people are touchable. They can be attacked. And they cooled off the hot water, right? Which Klal Yisrael, Moshe Lambati Rosachas, a hot bathtub, nobody can go in. Everybody was afraid. They said, no. What were they saying again? They were saying, Yetzias Mitzrayim was nice, but it's it. It's finished. It's over. It's not continuous. And in that battle, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu stood on top of the mountain while Yeshua fought in the valley below. And Moshe Rabbeinu won the battle for the Jewish people. How? By tefillah. What does it say? Vayhi yodav emuna ad boya shemesh. His hands were emuna until the sun set. What does that mean? His hands were emuna? So one way to translate it is his hands were steady. Because emuna is faithful, steady. His hands were steady. But what does the Targum say? What does Rashi ring? His hands were extended in prayer. Prisu b'tzlei. His hands were there with the expression of Emunah. The expression of Emunah is that if you saw that Hashem redeemed you once, then that means that He can redeem you again. And past performance is an indicator of future results. I'm not preoccupied with the stock market, I just want you to know. Right? But very past performance is an indicator of future results. V'chein kosav haRamban, and so wrote the Ramban, in what is perhaps his most fundamental, I know it's daring to say this, but is perhaps his most fundamental comment in the Ramban al HaTaira. The Ramban al HaTaira, as is known, Gedolim said, things of Yaakov Kamenetsky, who said that the Ramban al HaTaira was the Ramban's Meir Nevuchim, right? The Ramban wrote a book of philosophy called the Meir Nevuchim, the God for the Perplexed, Guide for the Perplexed, the God for the Perplexed. And the Ramban wrote his commentary on the Torah, and that's where he did that. And the Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, the Parsha of Geulas Mitzrayim, writes about how remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is so fundamental, because the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrates to us all of the Ikari of Amunah, all of the fundamentals of our faith. And we see there the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to overcome the world, which means that he's the master, the nature, which means he's the master of the world. We see there Nisim, we see there Nevuah, right? We see everything that we affirm in our Ikarei HaMuna, we see there. And that's why it's so fundamental. And then writes the Ramban. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'asa eisav mo'efes b'chol dar le'enei kol rasha'i kaifer. Hashem doesn't do miracles in every generation before the eyes of any wicked person or denier. Yitzav eisanu shenasa tamiz yikoren v'es la'shero einenu. We are instructed that we should make a constant reminder of what we saw. V'natik hadavra el b'neinu v'neim l'vneim v'neim l'der achrein. And we should pass it on to our children and their children to theirs until the end of time. And he goes on to speak about the many other ways that we make memorials for this. V'akol liyos l'onu b'chol adaris edus b'maisim shlo yishtakhu v'lo yipischein pe l'kayf l'hakish amunas elekim. And this is all so that the generations will preserve the memory of what happened, and no denier will have the ability to deny the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on, and he says, U'min ha'nisim ha'gedoylim ha'mefursamim, and from the great and known miracles, Adam Maida benisim ha'nistorim. From there, a person comes to believe in the hidden miracles. Sheim yisayid ha-Taira kula, that they are the foundation of the entire Taira. She'ein la'odam chelek v'Taira as Moshe Rabbeinu. A person doesn't have a portion in the Taira of Moshe, our teacher, at she'namin b'chol devoreinu u'mukreinu she'kulam nisim. Until the person believes in everything which occurs to us, that they're all miracles. Ein b'em tevo min hagei shalaylam. They're not. There's no nature. There's no way of the world. Bein b'rabim, bein b'yachid. Whether for a community, whether for an individual. Elim yasa amitzvos yatzlichenu zochorav imyaver aleim yachrisenu anshei hakol b'zayis elin kasher hiskarti kfar. He says, if we do mitzvahs, the reward comes. If we don't, lo aleinu, the punishment comes, as we mentioned already. Says the Ramban, I'm giving you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving you with Yetzias Mitzrayim this belief where it was visible and on display, but its value, its critical value is that it has to translate into life generally, into where Hashem isn't visible. So how do you make that transition? You go from Geula to Tefillah. When you daven this morning, I was not davening for open miracles. We're davening for success in the regular day-to-day things which we have, the challenges which we face. From the geula, from the dramatic miracles, it has to translate into that. And that's the vayamein. So when you see that geula, remembering geula, which we do in style on the night of Pesach, and we do directly and modestly every single day, that's supposed to translate to tefillah. Every single day we do it to translate to tefillah. So therefore, we understand that at the night of the Seder also, the telling the story is an incredible story of our past. It's an incredible picture that we draw of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we must translate it into tefillah, both in recognizing that story came through tefillah, and in recognizing that story and the belief in that story is supposed to animate our tefillah for the future. Think about it and take a step back. You know that there's a classic shaila, the classic question, which is asked on the Rambam. The Rambam was very preoccupied with the minyan hamitzvahs, with enumerating the 613 mitzvahs. There's a Gemara in the end of Makkos that says that there's 613 mitzvahs. Darash Rav Simai, 613 mitzvahs. And so we got to figure out, what are the 613 mitzvahs? One might not consider this the most consequential issue in the world, because what's the difference what you count as a mitzvah? Just know what you have to do, right? But they were preoccupied with how you count the mitzvahs. Rambam was preoccupied with how you count the mitzvahs. He wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and even his master work, the Yad HaChazakah, the Mishnah Torah, is organized. Every section says, these are the mitzvahs which we're going to be discussing here at the very beginning of it, he lists all the mitzvahs separate from his book of mitzvahs. Rambam was preoccupied with mitzvahs. And he forgot a mitzvah, it seems. And of course, he didn't forget it. He left out a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. He counts the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, but he does not count the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. And many ask this question, why did the Rambam leave out this mitzvah? So there's an answer, Mipi HaShmua, which is repeated over by many, in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker. And Rav Chaim Brisker said, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, that the reason why the Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah is because it's a chelek, it's a portion of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. We have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which the Rambam does count. There's a mitzvah to read Kriya Shema every morning and every night. And that mitzvah is the mitzvah to accept upon ourselves the commitment to Malchus Shamayim, the commitment to Hashem and to his kingdom. And included in that is remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where do we get to say that included that is remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because look, how did Chazal establish that we should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? They made it into the third paragraph of Kriya Shema. You know, there's even a discussion. You know about Zman Kriya Shema, right? Right? There's like you have to say Kriya Shema by a certain time. Why? Because it says Bekumecha, when you get up. So it has to be during the time that people get up. So it's from first thing in the morning till kings get up. Right? In the time of the Talmud, they hadn't invented teenagers yet. Right? So the latest ones to get up were kings. Right? So till the Melech who got up after Shalosh Shois. So I have a question for you. Do you have to say two paragraphs by then or three paragraphs by then? The third paragraph is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Bekumecha by Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says Kol Yimei Chayecha, all the days of your life. So we say during the day, during the night. Why can't you be Yetzias Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Say the first two paragraphs by Zman Kriya Shema, the third paragraph say it till later. Shagas Aryeh has a discussion about this. The assumption, the halachic assumption is that you have to do them all Bekumecha, because it's all incorporated within Kriya Shema. Why? Because Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And what's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. I'll bring, by the way, a nice little proof that it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Where do you have the language of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim in davening? Umalchusoy berotzoin kiblu aleihem. That's where you say it. Otherwise, we don't say it in davening Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. Right? The Mishnah says, why do you have the first paragraph and the second paragraph? First, you're Mekabel Malchus Shamayim, then you're Mekabel Mitzvahs. Where do you have the language of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim? Is in the bracha of Geula, after the third paragraph of Shema, we say, Umalchusoy berotzoin kiblu aleihem. They accepted his kingdom upon them. That's Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shamayim. When did we do that? We did that when we left Mitzrayim. We did that at the Yam Suf, it says. We said, Hashem, Yimlech, Leilom, Ve'ed, long live God the King. Right? Hashem will be the King for eternity. It's accepting of ourselves Malchus Shamayim. It's part and parcel of that mitzvah. You ever think about it? There are things you have to say every day. Right? You have to say Shema every day. And you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei. You have to daven. And Chazal put them all together. First you say Shema to God, to each other, to yourself, and then you say to Shemoneh Esrei to God. They put it together. Here's the list of things you have to say today. Here, go ahead, say it. It's not that way. You go from one into the other. Right? The way davening is set up is that the first thing you do is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. It's true we go from Geula to Tevila. But what we're really doing is we're going from Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim to Tevila. What comes before Tevila is the very last bracha is the bracha of Geula, but the whole is the birchas Kriya Shema. And the Birchas Kriyashma are the Birchas Kriyashma. They're around Kriyashma. Kriyashma is Kabbalah Zal Malchus Shamayim. We accept God as our King. And then we pray to Him. Because that's what you do. Tefillah is avoda. Avoda service. How do you serve Hashem? With tefillah. Could you explain that to me? When I daven, I say, Rabbeinu Shalom, could I have this? Could I have that? Could I have the other thing? Okay, if I was bringing a carbon, I could understand why you would call that serving Hashem. Because I give him food. Okay, you know, what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs my food? Okay, good question. But I'm acting the part. We build him a house. But now when we daven, we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, give me this, give me that, and we call that avoda. How's that avoda? How's that serving Hashem when you're asking Hashem to serve you? When you're asking Hashem to take care of you? So, in a sense, it's not that kind of avoda, but is, as has been explained by many, it's not an original thought. You're doing what an eved does. An eved recognizes that they're in the hands of their master. And tefillah is to recognize you're in the hands of Hashem. And so first you accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your king, and then that's what you, that's how you follow out to express it. So tefillah is an essential piece of the puzzle. I would like, however, to take this one more step. One further step. An important further step in exploring and understanding this framing of the Hagadah Shel Pesach, with tefillah in the center of it, with tefillah Hashata Avdei in the beginning, with tefillah Kein Tagienu in the end of it. Again, it's not classically a night of prayer. It's a night which sets the stage and serves as the foundation for our tefillah like it does every single day. Everyone knows that there are two major seasons of Yamim Tovim in the Jewish calendar. The Tishrei holidays and the Nisan holidays. Shavuos is also a Yom Tov, right? It's a difference, not part of Nisan, but in a certain sense it is. What month is Shavuos in? The Torah doesn't tell you what month it is in. It doesn't have a date in the Torah. It's the 50th day from the second day of Pesach. So much so that it's famous, the Ramban brings from the Psikta, that Sfira is one long Cholamoid, with Shavuos being the last day. So you could just be extra grateful during Sfira that you don't have to do Cholamoid trips for 7 weeks. Right? But it's all a continuation of the Chag, of the Yom Tov. We start counting down to it from the day after the first day of Pesach. There are the Nisan festivals, and there are the Tishrei festivals. Ha'ora Gedola. An important note. The Tishrei festivals are launched by Pesach. By Pesach, by Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah called in the Torah? What do we refer to is that in our tefillah? It's a day of Zikaron. Zikaron. Of remembrance. What remembrance is it? Zikaron is the term which the Torah uses for, the way we understand it is, din. Atah, zecher, maseh, eilom, ufaykeid, kol yitzurei kedem. You remember. You remember everything which we did. You remember every creature. The Sefer HaZichronos, the Book of Remembrances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the book and sees everything which we did, which everything has an impact. It's all there, inscribed, part of the future. And what's the Yom Tov of Pesach? The Yom Tov of Pesach is the Yom Tov also of Zikaron. but it's the onus of Zikaron on us. Rosh Hashanah is the season of Hashem Zikaron, and Pesach is the season of our Zikaron. If you want to embellish that idea, you can note that, you know, there's this interesting cycle of the year that Purim comes before Pesach, but really Pesach is the beginning of the year and Purim is the end of the year. But Chazal said that we want Purim to be close to Pesach. We want to have a sense of going from Purim to Pesach. And that's why we make Purim and Adar Sheni, to Yimasmich Gula Lagula, so you go from Purim to Pesach without a break of 2 months. And everyone knows that Purim is launched by Zachar. Right? Zachar. Remember what Amalek did to you. There are Zichreinis. There are six Zichreinis. There are six things that Jewish people are supposed to remember. Amalek and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, etc. These are the things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we're supposed to remember. And they're part of Pesach. One of the Sheis Zichreinis is not one of the psukim which we mention most about remembering. What's that? Laman tizkiru v'asisem es kol mitzvayse, so you will remember and you'll do all of my mitzvahs. Where does it say that? It says that in the parsha which we say to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the parsha of Tzitzis, that you should do this so that you remember all of the mitzvahs of Hashem. The Tzitzis are there so that you will remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem v'asisem v'asisem, and you will do them. Yetzias Mitzrayim focuses around our obligation to remember. What does it mean, our obligation to remember, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's obligation to remember? So, what I think we need to think about here is a very important philosophical principle, theological principle. And the principle goes like this. There's a Yom HaDin. There's a time of judgment. Time of judgment, Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes account of His creation. Everything that exists comes before Him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reviews and decides. Din, initiated by Hashem. That's what happens on the anniversary that Hashem, of Hashem's creation of the world. That's our tradition. On the anniversary when Hashem created the world, He reevaluates the project every year. He looks at all of His creation, all of His creatures, and He evaluates them and decides for them for the future. Is that the only pathway to Din? It's not. There's another pathway to Din. The other pathway to Din, and I don't mean to Din just in the negative sense, right? Tadin might say, okay, Ive, you know, it's negative. It is true in the negative sense. And it's also true in the positive sense, because Din is Mida Taiva Meruba. Hashem doesn't just punish, Hashem rewards way more than He punishes. He's kind. The other is when we bring it up. When we bring it up. It's written all over the Torah that that's the case. When we bring it up, it makes a difference. So, for example, the Pasuk says that you should make sure to return any collateral garment which you take from somebody, right? So that way, when they go to sleep, v'shachav v'salmoso, the person will lie wearing their garment, uve'rachecha, and they'll bless you. Right? You should make sure to pay on time, because if one doesn't pay on time, heaven forbid, they will cry out to me. So Rashi says consistently what Chazal say, which is that, hey, you know, person does good, they should be rewarded. Person does bad, they'd be punished. But when someone calls out to Hashem, memarim li pora, that accelerates the process. Because Hashem responds. There's where Hashem initiates, but there's also where Hashem responds. Hashem accepts to be activated. Hashem accepts to be activated. This, by the way, is the explanation of a question which was asked by the Rishonim on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the actions of a person, like he looks at the actions of a city, like he looks at the actions of a world. And he says, if it's majority this way, so then it's a tzaddik, and if it's a majority that way, then it's a rush. And it's supposed to be destroyed. And he brings a proof from the pasuk that says, Zakah Sodom v'Amora ki Rabbah. The outcry of Sodom and Amora is Rabbah. What is Rabbah? The Rambam translates from the Gemara, is the majority. Right, it's the rife. There's more bad than there is good. So I think, excuse me, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's Lecha Mishnah who says, "Hey, one second. But didn't Avram Avinu daven and say that if there just didn't he end up with just be 10 tzaddikim in the city, that it would make a difference? That doesn't change it. I thought if it's a majority, so what is 50 tzaddikim or 10 tzaddikim? How does that help?" What happened to the rule of majority? He said, when you daven, there's a rule where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I'm going to do. I initiated it. Avraham Avinu didn't say anything. Right? Hashem comes with the din. It may be, by the way, parenthetically, that over there also wasn't just initiated by Hashem. It was initiated by an outcry. Zakas Sodom v'Amora. The outcry, Zakas Oisariva, Chazal say there was a young woman who was tortured and attacked, and she cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks and says, hey, but when somebody cries out in the opposite direction, HaKadosh, it changes the way things work. It changes the way things work. Yitzias Mitzrayim was not initiated, as the Ramban said, and as struck so home for the Chafetz Chaim. It wasn't initiated by the passive reality of the Yom HaZikaron, that HaKadosh Baruch says, okay, let me look at the world and see what's going on over here, and we're going to decide accordingly. Instead, it was initiated by virtue of the fact that Klal Yisrael turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beseeched him and activated. It wouldn't have happened had we not cried. We had to intervene in order to do something. And that becomes our charge. Our charge of Zechira. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvahs of Zechira to remember, they're the mitzvahs which are there, they are the perspectives which are supposed to activate us, move us to action. And our moving to action means taking the rudder of history, the steering wheel of history, to some degree into our hands. Which, by the way, we maintain when we get to Rosh Hashanah. When we get to Rosh Hashanah, we're not passive either. Every creature in the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and most of them play no role in that process. But what do? We do all kinds of things to remind Hashem of us, of the good things that we did, of Akedas Yitzchak. We're not passive. The remembrance that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, oh wow, Hashem remembered us. Hashem did. But you can't underestimate the role that you can play in precipitating that. L'taiva. L'olenu also to negative. There's such a thing as also precipitating negatively. If you cry out against someone, heaven forbid, that could precipitate something. And maybe part of what happened to the Mitzrim was because we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about what the Egyptians were doing to us. There's also something to that. But it's moving from passive to active. And this really just goes back to the same idea that I'm trying to convey in this time. When you tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what are you doing? You could be telling this amazing story of generations ago of what happened as HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and redeemed them to Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Hisyatzvu uruas Yeshuas Hashem. Right, at the moment of truth, when we cross the Amsuf, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you just stand there now and watch. You don't even have to cry out to me anymore. Matitza Kelai. You don't have to cry out to me anymore. Okay, maybe we have to travel, we have to do something, show an act of faith. But we can read the story about, wow, the whole world is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And that would be an incorrect reading. It's false. What do you mean the world isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands? Oh boy, what a great soundbite for the 6 o'clock news, right? Haggadah Shir declares that the world isn't in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. That's right. It's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands to decide and to move and to make things happen. But it's in our hands to direct HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim doesn't mean, so now we just sit here and wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do everything. From Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim, from accepting Hashem as your king, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get up and daven and intervene. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It's yours. Right? That's the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You'll decide. I'm giving you the new moon. You'll decide when somebody's going to become a bar mitzvah, when somebody's not going to become a bar mitzvah, when the year ends, when the year begins. Time is not in my hands anymore. I'm giving it to you. Because I'm giving you, that's the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael, where he empowered us. So the line, Hashata Hocha L'shana Abba Barad Yisrael, it's not a throwaway line. And Kein Tagienu, in the end of the Magid, is not a throwaway line. And that piece in the middle of Anitzak El Hashem Vayishma Kaleinu, whether you pause and say, okay, now we're going to stop and we're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shidduchim and for money, and that you decide whether you're going to be Chassidish or you're not going to be Chassidish, whether you'll follow that custom or not. But to understand that the whole night is there to activate you. To move from the world being up to what Hashem remembers, to us reminding ourselves, and then being maskir, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If I may, there's a Rashi, right around this table on Sunday mornings, we usually learn Bereishis. We're at the end of, towards the end of Parshas Noach. Some of you who are here for that will recall that it says in Parshas Noach, "Vayizkar Elokim es Noach," and Hashem remembered Noach. It happens to be, by the way, one of the psukim which we say on Rosh Hashanah when we say 10 psukim of Zichronos of Hashem's memories. One of them is this pasuk, "Vayizkar Elokim es Noach." This is at the end of the Mabul, the end of the rain. And Hashem remembers Noach, he's in the Teva, and all the animals are with him in the Teva. Zok Rashi, the power of prayer. That it says Elokim. Elokim is the term of judgment, but it turns it into mercy. Prayer? Does the pasuk say anywhere that anybody prayed? That Noach in the Teva prayed? Chazal say that Noach prayed. He prayed in a line which is maybe more familiar than others from Tehillim, Kuf Mem Beis, Haitzia Mimasker Nafshi, remove my soul from its imprisonment. Right? He was locked in a box for a year. Haitzia Mimasker Nafshi. But Chazal assume that if it says Vayizkor, that Hashem remembered, what must be that we davened. The Yom Tov of Zechira is the Yom Tov of Tefillah. It's human-generated Zechira. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah which is participated in actively. And we can conclude with this and say that that's perhaps one of the great differences between Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, you read the same paragraph all the time. And you have this notion called routine of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is with give and take. It's dynamic. It's with questions and answers. And those questions aren't just supposed to be the manishtam of the four questions, which are there as part of the routine. It's supposed to be dynamic. You should think. You should ask a question. You should probe. The conversation should go in a different direction than it went before. Because it's about activity, not about passivity. This is not the victims of Hashem's Zechira, the powerless, controlled by Hashem's Zechira. Had we not spoken up, nothing would have happened. Had we not spoken up, nothing would have happened. Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim means that now you know what your job is. So God does run the world. And in the end, contrary to what was said earlier, Hashem does. But Hashem does based on what we do. Hashem Tzilcha. Okay, pleasure. And hopefully we'll all have kayach and time. We'll come back again next week. Thank you. Nice to see you.